So today we are beginning a two-part series called The Light in the Darkness. Light in the Darkness. When I was out there in Jasper, Arkansas, my wife and I stayed in a cabin while we were out there, and to go from the cabin to the bathroom was a pretty dark walk. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't see where you were going, and you would stumble and fall off the concrete path or hit something. And so you needed a light in that darkness. And oftentimes in our own lives, we go through storms. We go through battles in our lives, and we need that light that's in the darkness to shine in. Today I want to preach to you on hope through the storms. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 27, preaching on hope through the storms. So it was forecasting to rain here, and obviously it is raining, although I postponed getting the lawn mowed because I thought it was going to rain. I thought it was going to pour down on us, and it didn't pour down on us yesterday so much. But the rains do come. The storms do come. There was a movie called Finest Hour. It was based on a true story about these guys that rode out into the storm to save a group of sailors who were caught in that storm. And during the movie, I won't give away everything, but the compass broke on the boat, and they couldn't see where they were going. They had no clue, and they kept on trudging through that storm. It's a true story, based on a true story. And they couldn't see where they were going. They had no clue, but they were holding on to hope that they were going to find those sailors, and holding on to hope that they would find their way back home, and they did. Hope is a powerful thing. And as I read the words of this psalm, as we look at this psalm, Psalm 27, I see the imagery of a battle. I see what David was going through. David was the writer of this psalm, King David. And he went through a lot of storms in his life. And I see the imagery of the battle he was going through, the situations he was dealing with, facing off with enemies. And he talks about that. It's a difficult situation for him, but it's clear, even in the midst of his battles, even in the midst of his storms in life, David still had hope. He still had hope. Hope is a powerful thing. J. Key Chesterton said, "There is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, and no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow." What a powerful thing, hope. Yeah, when we talk about hope, when most people talk about hope, they talk about, "I hope it's going to be good weather," or "I hope that my people at work are going to be nice to me. I hope they're going to be good people at work," or "I hope that we're going to have good sales with my company." We have this kind of a hope that we're wishing or a desire or a longing for something. But yet when the Bible talks about hope, it paints a little bit of a different picture when it's referring to hope. First we see in Jeremiah 17:7, it says, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. What a different picture. Trusting in the Lord. Our faith being in the Lord. And that is where our hope comes from. We see with the Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he writes this, "So now abide these three things, faith, hope, and love." But the greatest of these is love. And talking about these major pillars in our lives, these things which abide, these things which are core to us as believers, that we trust in the Lord, that we have this kind of hope, a hope that looks not just to good weather tomorrow, but eternal life, looks to the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world says that hope is merely a fond wish or desire, but the words used for hope here tell a different story. They teach us that hope is this deep, settled confidence that God will keep His promise. This deep, settled confidence. We know that God is true to His Word, and we're going to trust in Him. Despite what storms we are going through, despite how dark it is, we hold on to that hope because we trust in the Lord. Now, I know that you all have battles. I know that you all have your personal struggles and your own storms in life. But do you have hope? We can all relate to the storms. We can all relate to the battles. But do we all have that hope, that great hope that comes from God? Are you resting in the sure confidence that God will do just as he promised that he would? I want to look into these verses for a while today here in Psalm chapter 27. I want to look at these verses and I want to preach about that hope, even when you don't see it, that hope that comes from the Lord, even when you don't see where you're going, when you don't know how your business is going to turn out, even when you don't know how the situation, you know, somebody's sick in your family, you don't know how this, but you're holding on to that hope. First of all, we have confidence in the Lord. Our confidence in the Lord provides hope. Look at Psalm chapter 27. Starting at verse 1 through verse 3, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. Even in this will I be confident. King David wrote this psalm. He went through a lot of battles, a lot of storms, and David begins this psalm of hope by declaring his personal faith in the Lord. He says, despite what I'm going through, my hope is in the Lord. I have personal faith in the God who is taking care of me. Notice the uses of my, how he personalizes it in this passage. It's in verse 1 even. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And he personalizes it. It is his hope in the Lord, his faith, his personal relationship. David had a deep personal relationship with God, and this was a basic foundation for his life, a basic foundation for his hope. His hope came out of his personal relationship with the Lord. It's his light and his salvation. He knew it personally. He personalized it. David tells us that this, his light, his salvation, and his strength. As light, God delivers his people from darkness. He delivers his people from sin. He delivers his people from the power of that darkness, of the power of that sin, of the power that sin has over your life. God delivers his people from that darkness. As light, God guides our steps. He opens our eyes to see the path he wants us to go. He shows us that straight and narrow route. He illuminates our path. God is the light in our life. As salvation, God delivers his people from eternal destruction. And now through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. He delivers his people from the effects of that sin in their life, that eternal destruction, that eternal damnation over them, and gives them that eternal hope, that eternal life. As salvation, God secures our souls. As strength, God delivers his people from defeat. We might feel down and out, but God is right there waiting to go fight for you, fight on your behalf. As strength, God guarantees our success if we put our trust and hope in him. These three great characteristics, what incredible characteristics when David is talking about who, where his trust is and where his hope is, light and salvation, strength. What great characteristics that we can attribute to God, even in the midst of our battles, even in the midst of what we're going through, our personal storms, this is who God is in our lives. This is who God wants to be in your life. If you're going through some struggles right now and you're not seeing the way out, just remember, God is your light, your salvation, and your strength. There's no match for that. There's nothing that the devil can do that can match to that. God is so powerful in your life. David declares that his present hope in the Lord rests in that which the Lord has done for him. David looks and he sees the enemies. He sees all those that are around him that come to him. But God is great in his life, and he looks to who God is in his life, what God has done for him. God has never failed him. and he will not fail his children today. That same confidence can be ours. You can have that same confidence in whatever storms you're facing. You can have that same confidence that David had. God is not going to fail you. We don't know how God will succeed. We don't know the whole plan, but God is your light and your salvation and your strength in whatever storm you're going through. Think of all the things that he's done. Think of the victories he's won. Think of what God has, how he has vanquished the enemy in your life, how he's moved those mountains in your life. Think about how you sought the Lord for your needs and he came through. Think about your own testimony, just like David does here. What has God done in your life? Boy, that builds hope. There, my mom and I, we were talking about this. I've been playing this CD. I found it. I don't ever play CDs anymore. I have a whole book of CDs, and I don't seem to ever get to them. It's all online. It's all MPEGs and whatever else. But I found my CDs, and I was going through them, and I saw I have these greatest hits from Carmen. Do you all know who Carmen is? The singer, the gospel singer Carmen? I have these greatest hits from Carmen, so I decided to pop it in the CD. And I forgot how cool he sounded. He has a great voice. Sometimes he's a little cheesy because he tries to imitate like rapping or country or different genres, but he really has a great voice. And I was talking with my mom, and she says, you know, you ought to read his blogs. You ought to read about the personal testimony he's gone through so much recently. We were having that conversation. And I did. I went and looked him up. I wanted to see what Carmen's been dealing with. And he's dealt with so much. Back in 2011, he went through an auto accident. He had internal injuries, and so they had to do surgery. Back in 2013, he was diagnosed with melanoma. And yet, despite his personal struggles and what he's dealing with, back in 2014, just a couple years ago, he created an album called No Plan B. I mean, what a testimony. What a man who's going through some storms in his life, and yet he's still praising God, and he's still looking to God as his victory and salvation. Why? Why does he do that? Why does he hold on to it? Because he knows where he's come from. He knows what God has brought him through, and you do too. You know where you've come from. You just look back. God, I see how you were victorious in my life right here. I see how I was struggling and I saw no way out, but you came through. We prayed through. It was hard. But God, you were successful in my life, and I thank you for that. We have those same kind of victories in our life. Think about those things. Remember the God who performed countless wonders in the world, in the Bible, and in your own life. He's still that same God today. That should have given his people in the Bible hope. That should give us hope. And yet David shows us another path to hope. Number two, our commitment to the Lord provides hope. Our commitment to the Lord provides hope. Look at verse 4. He writes this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What a beautiful thing. What a passionate side to David. Not only does living with our faith give us hope, but also faithful living, our faithfulness to the Lord provides a measure of hope in our life that we wouldn't have had otherwise. What a powerful thing. David mentions three goals in this verse. I don't know if you caught it, but he mentions these three goals that arise from a single commitment to the Lord. He wants to be faithful, to love the Lord, his God, and he commits himself. He wants to spend his entire life in the house of the Lord. He wants that to be a place he wants to be in that place where the Lord dwells. He wants to be where the Lord's at. He wants to be in the Lord's presence. This is a theme that is repeated again and again in David's life. You just look through the book of Psalms. You see it in Psalm 84. You see it in Psalm 91, where David is crying out saying, "I want to be where the Lord is. I want to be in his presence. I want to be sheltered by the Lord. I want his wings to wrap around me. I want to be where God is." A constant theme in his life. That ought to be our desire as well. We have a church and we're commanded to be here. God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as the manner of such is. That we have a direct call from God to be in fellowship with one another, to be with the body. But we also need to be finding our own personal spaces. Church is wonderful, but we need to find our own personal places, our own personal spaces where we can seek the face of God, where we can, maybe it's a room in your home where you just want to go in there and seek after God, your personal prayer closet. Perhaps it's down by the creek. I was talking with a brother just this morning where we're being out in nature is his church. That's where he feels alive with the Lord. And I can relate when we're over in Jasper, over in Arkansas, I drove my brother-in-law's four-wheeler down to the creek and spent some time out there by the creek seeking God, praying to God. And I go, man, I could be here every day. I would love to, this is my zone, you know, this is where I really feel like God's speaking to me. It was such an awesome thing. And some, for some of you, that's it. You're down by the creek seeking the Lord. Perhaps it's the back porch of your home where you're looking out and you're seeing the woods and just really blessing and praising God. Wherever it is, it's not just enough to be here on a Sabbath morning, which we're called by God to do. We're called to be here. But we also need those personal spaces and personal places where we can seek God. If there is a genuine desire to be near Him, it will manifest itself in clear action. We see that in David. We see he wasn't just talking the talk. David didn't just say that he desired to be near the Lord, but he proved it again and again. If we truly desire the Lord in our life, you will see it in your actions, how you respond, whether you're taking that time to seek the Lord, your commitment to prayer, your commitment to study the Word of God. There will be a commitment to public and private worship. You will be committed to seeking after God. Those that linger near the Lord will find a way. And when we make a move, the Bible teaches us, when we make a move towards Him, what does He do? He moves towards us. When we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. The Bible teaches that. David says he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. Wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. That is, he wants to seek His face. He wants to see Him. He wants to see the Lord. You see, not only David committed to being where the Lord is, but he's committed to worshiping the Lord, to seeking His face, crying out to Him. This is a worthy goal in our life. This should be the goal of every believer. We should all have this desire, not just to seek the Lord and be around, but to worship Him, to worship the Lord. If we're going to worship the Lord, we're going to have to do it His way. Jesus told us to worship God in spirit and in truth. We must learn to respond to God's Word, to be obedient to what God has spoken to us to do. We must learn to be responsive to God in that way. But when we read the Word of God, I pray it stirs something in your heart. I pray the Word of God is stirring something in you. And it's at that moment when God is speaking to your heart, we need to be responsive to His Spirit as well. Worship God in spirit. We need to learn to respond to God's Spirit in worship as well. Worship in spirit and in truth. How long has it been since you just genuinely loved on the Lord? How long has it been since you just loved on the Lord? Just love God. I'll let you ponder on that one for a little bit. David also, in this passage, expresses his desire to inquire of the Lord. We see it in verse 4 again. He says that he may dwell in the house of the Lord, that he may behold the beauty of the Lord. And what does he say? And to inquire in His temple. David has this desire to call on the Lord, to inquire of Him, to call out to Him, to commune with God, and to make requests to God in prayer. Another image of worship. Prayer is an act of worship, calling out to God. David here shows his utter, absolute dependence on God in his life for the necessities in his life. David knew he had to look beyond his own abilities. He was a competent guy. David knew how to do things, but he knew that he had to look beyond himself, look beyond his own abilities, look beyond his own resources to the Lord God. He needed God in his life and called out to him to the limitless provision of the Lord. We're so limited, but God is limitless. God has no boundaries, no limits in his ability to bless us and take care of us. So David called out to the Lord. My, what a limitless resource that we have in prayer. What a limitless resource. We're invited to pray, and we're promised that God hears us and he answers us. What a powerful tool in our toolbox. We can call out to God and pray to him. Whatever storm that you're facing today, whatever struggle that you're going through, if your business is struggling or if your home life is struggling, what a limitless resource that we can call out to God, and God is faithful to hear us when we pray to him. How powerful. Therefore, let us learn to lean upon him. Instead of worry and fear, let us learn to turn to the Lord. Instead of being afraid and full of anxieties, and it's hard to get away from anxieties. It's hard to get away from that. But let us turn to the Lord instead. God, I don't know what to do, but I'm turning to you. My confidence looks upward. To the one that has experienced prayer in their life, boy, that builds hope. If you've called out to God and God has come through, that builds hope in your life. You know where your help comes from. It comes from the Lord. I know he's done it in my life. You know, when you ask someone to help, when you ask someone to, you need help and you ask them to help you and they come through, that builds your trust in them. You know that you can rely and depend on them. And the same thing is true to God. I know I've called out to God, and whenever I had financial needs, I know when I was going to college, back in 2005, when I was getting ready to go to college, I was making that decision. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. I was not making a lot at the job I was going to. And so I started crying out to God day after day. I was praying and seeking his face. God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to be able to go to college and get this done? I know that this is your direction for my life. What am I to do? I don't have the money for it. And, you know, God came through. And it's that kind of experience. I was able to go to college. That kind of experience builds your trust in the Lord. That kind of experience builds your hope in him, so that when you're going through those storms, whatever your struggle is that you're facing today, that you know you can lean on the Lord. You just have to look back and say, Lord, I see where you have brought me through and where I'm at today. That's powerful. Our confidence provides hope. Our commitment to him provides hope in the battles and struggles. Yet David shows us even another road, even another path to hope. Our comfort, number three, our comfort in the Lord provides hope. Look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." I love how David responds right here. He's saying, you know, God, I've got the enemies around me, but I trust in you. My confidence is in you. And you know what? You brought me through so much, and those enemies don't matter. He says, I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to put my trust in you. And here's why. I just love David's response here in verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret places of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and then shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. David knew the enemies were nothing compared to God. Above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I love David's conclusion here. I love where David sees where God has brought him through, and he knows that he can continue to trust in the Lord for his life. David was comforted by that hope in the Lord. David tells us that the Lord will hide him in his pavilion. A pavilion, your version might say something else. A pavilion means a tent, basically. It's parallel poetry when you look at it here. It's talking about the tabernacle of God. If you look at the parallel in this poetry, it's the tent of God. The tabernacle can be a shelter from the wind and from the rains of life. I remember I've had some bad tent experiences. I tell you what, I stayed out in a tent one time on my father-in-law's property. It was a big tent. We were getting ready to build a little kind of home, if you will, so that we could stay in there while I was going through college. And I stayed in that tent. The storms came. I know my wife didn't want to be in that tent, so I stayed there by myself. And the storms came. It was lightning and thundering, and the wind was blowing. That was not a good tent experience. I was scared for my life. I've been in other tent-type experiences. We were doing some tent ministry, and we went out to Wenatchee, Washington, and we put this tent up. It was a big tent, like a 60 by 60. It was a big tent. And we put it up, and we didn't even get the ministry off the ground. The winds blew through and just lifted that tent right off the ground and dropped it down, and that ended the ministry right there. We tried to do it without a tent, but the tent was ruined. And I don't blame God for any of that stuff. That's life. That's what happens. But the picture here, those are really bad experiences. The picture here is of like being like yesterday, or this morning rather, last night, when the rain was pouring down and I'm in my bed and I don't have to worry about it. That's the picture of this tabernacle right here. That's the picture David's portraying. As the battles of life rage around us, as we are going through our own struggles, our own personal storms of life, we are sheltered by God. We are comforted and cared by Him. He has us wrapped in His arms, comforted and sheltered by Him. We can find refuge in God. The assurance of His shelter in place allows us to weather the storms of life, allows us to go through that no matter what we're dealing with or going through. We see that in Scripture. David facing off with Goliath. What a challenge, man. But he trusted in the Lord. His comfort was in God. We see that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when their very life was being threatened because they put their faith in God and they refused to bend their knee. And yet their comfort was in the Lord. God took care of them. We see that with Daniel, and we see that with Paul. We see that with Apostle Paul, facing so many trials and so many struggles, and yet his comfort was in the Lord. The tabernacle was also a place of worship. That's what we think of when we think of the tabernacle in the Bible, a place of worship. Within the covering of a tabernacle, there was a place in there called the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest went once a year. I picture David here saying, God, my relationship with you, my worship of you, my seeking your face is like being in the very Holy of Holies in that tabernacle. The place where only you are, the place where nobody else is, the place between just me and you, where I am protected, where I'm safe, and where you've got me, Lord. That's what I picture David saying here, the secret place. He calls it the secret place of the tabernacle. We see that in that verse. It's amazing that God has a secret place for us today. It wasn't just with David, but we have a secret place where we can find strength and comfort in the Lord. It is a place where God meets His people, where He reveals Himself to you, where if you only just seek Him there. It is amazing that there's this place of peace in a world, you know, where there's so many distractions, where there's so much going on, where there's so many crushing battles that we face, where there's so many ways that we can just get stressed out and not know where to go and not know what we're going to do. But even in the midst of that, God has provided this place of peace that is found in Him. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place that God can deliver you through no matter what you're going through. It's a place of salvation. If you don't know the Lord and you're seeking Him, God will save you if you seek Him. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. It's a place of faith building. When we're there in that secret place, seeking after God, that's where our faith is built up. We begin to say, you know what, God? I was stressed out before, but now I sought your faith and you've given me your peace. I know that I can make it It's a place of faith building. It's a place of spiritual power. When you are needing strength in your life, or you need that spiritual power to make it through what you're going through, that's where you seek it, in that secret place with the Lord. It's a place of vision. You don't know whether to go left or right, but you get in that secret place with the Lord, and God guides your steps. Suddenly you know what to do. It's a place of hope. We're talking about hope today. The secret place is a place of hope. David has the assurance, when as he wrote this psalm, that even when life threatens to overflow him, the Lord will set him, he says, on a rock. A rock, a place that is unchangeable, unmoving. A place that he can just stay there. He knows he will not be moved. Of course, this rock here, when we, as Christians, we know this rock refers to who? Well, let's try that again. We were set on the rock. And who's the rock?
Jesus,
our Lord. And I'm so grateful for that rock. That we have a rock where we are set on, we will not be moved. And we just keep holding on to him. He is that rock. He is our refuge. Trusting in Christ is like being an eagle in a storm. That he can lift you right above that storm because you keep looking to him. Suddenly that storm doesn't matter anymore because you can just soar right. The storm doesn't go away. You have to ride through that storm. But when you're looking to Jesus as your answer, you can be lifted right above that storm. You can see clearly how God's going to help you. Notice how David tells what God is going to do for him. I just love that. He seeks God and he says, God, I trust in you. You're going to come through for me. For those that make God their refuge, that make him their secret place, and stand on the rock of Christ, we can rest. We can rest in him. That's what I'm talking about. Suddenly, it's all about God. It's all about him. It's not about what we have to do or what we need to do or what we can do, but it's about God hiding us. It's about God setting us. It's about God being our strength. And suddenly it goes from being about us to being about him. God will take care of you. David says, he says that he will worship the Lord. He will praise the Lord because of the things that the Lord has done for him. Because the Lord has lifted him above the battles. Because the Lord is taking care of him in the face of his enemies. Because he's hidden him away. Because he has that secret place. Because the Lord has sheltered him away from the terrors of the battle. So he will praise his name. And he turns all of that back to praise to the Lord. What a lesson to us. What an incredible lesson for us today. When hope has turned into reality in our lives. When God has come through and been successful in our lives, and we turn all of that back to praise to him. You know, when the enemy has come again, when we're going through those storms, when we're struggling with our own personal battles, and suddenly we make it through, all of that can be turned right back to praise to the Lord. For one that is in that secret place, that tabernacle, David calls it the tabernacle, that tabernacle is a place of worship. It's a place of praise. And when we have come through, when God has sheltered us from that storm, all of that can go right back to praise to God. What a lesson for us to take from David. We can praise the God who fights for us. Are you fighting some battles today? Are you going through some storms today? Of course you are. Of course you are. We can relate to that. We all have our storms and we all have our battles that we face. But in the midst of those battles, do you have hope? Do you have hope? Do you have that deep, settled confidence that everything is going to be all right because it's God that is for you and not against you? If you do, praise the Lord. He has already brought you to that special place, to that secret place of blessing which you can offer praise to the Lord. But if you lack that hope this morning, if you lack that hope, it can be attained. How? How can that be attained? By reaffirming your confidence in the Lord, by renewing your commitment to the Lord, and by resting in the comfort of the Lord. Do you need to talk to the Lord about your battles? Do you need to talk to him about your hope? If you do, friends, this is a good place to do it this morning. Worship team, would you come up?